Acts 27, not page 27. Let's stand together, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 20, picking up the story here. The storm has begun, and the boat is being tossed, and I'm skipping some verses. I'll go back and bring you up to date in the fore part of the message, but for text's sake this morning, 20, 21, and 22, okay? 20, 21, and 22. We'll look at some other verses in the passage. Please join me on 21. Acts 27, 20, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Thank you, dear Lord, for your good blessings to us. We love you today. Love you for your all the manifold blessings. Your book, your word. What a marvelous, marvelous book we have in our hands this morning. Help me as I preach it. May your spirit settle on this place, quieten our hearts, prepare us for the message with the song. We'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, BC. I can only song this morning and well sung. I want you to look at verse number 20, and we'll get the sound corrected there. A little ringing this morning. Not ringing, but surrounded there, Greg. Verse number 20, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. And then verse 22, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer. I want to speak to you this morning on from then to now. From then to now. Dear Father, I pray that you'll please open our hearts to your word. I guess we have to present ourselves to you. God, you won't force feed us. Your Holy Spirit will come, hopefully with a table spread, with good warm bread from heaven's oven for our hearts, our souls. But you will not force feed us. If we want to daydream about yesterday, if we want to daydream about tomorrow, or if we just want to sleep or not pay attention, that's what you'll let us do. And I pray, oh God, that you'd help us as people of God to hunger this morning. Fill our cups. May we come to this table hungry this morning. God, they that hunger shall be filled. So help me, I pray. Lord, I'm just the conveyor belt. That's all I am. I'm just the server. And I pray, oh God, as the bread is served, that all your good people will feast on it today. Speak to us, encourage us, bless us, help us. If there's a soul here unsaved, needing to experience the mercy of God, like we just heard in that song, I pray that that soul would come to Christ this morning. Thank you that any soul that comes to Christ finds that He's merciful. Thank you for that. Bless me, help me, I pray. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name and amen. The Apostle Paul, preacher of the gospel to the Gentiles, seemed like he was involved in either a riot or a revival everywhere he went. You read through his missionary journeys in the book of Acts, and they really either had revival or riot. You come to Acts 27. Let me give you the preceding, the setting of it. It was a riot that landed him in prison in Caesarea. Now, you have to go back several chapters in the book of Acts to find that. But it was a riot that landed him in prison in Caesarea. And he's been in prison all this time since he was incarcerated. He had pled his case before Felix the governor and before Festus, who succeeded Felix. And then he pleaded his case. When he was pleading his case to Festus and they wouldn't grant him freedom, he appealed to Caesar, the highest authority in the land. And then while he was waiting to be transported to testify before Caesar, here came King Agrippa. And King Agrippa heard his case. And Agrippa told Festus, if this man hadn't already appealed to Caesar, I might have set him free. He knew he was innocent. He didn't deserve to be in prison. And so here he is now. He's testified before Felix, before Festus, and before King Agrippa. And now he's on his way to Rome to stand before Caesar. He had appealed for this, and they had granted him the appeal, and he was going to stand and testify in front of Caesar. Now, Paul was being transported by ship to Rome. They started out on the sea, and the weather was calm. The Bible says the south wind blew softly. But it wasn't long after that that the east wind blew, a wind very tempestuous called Euroclydon. And boy, that storm hit. And I mean the ship was being tossed up and down and the storm set in on them. They had not seen the sun or stars or moon for many days, the Bible said. And I mentioned this before. You understand, this is before modern means of navigation. This is when they used sun, moon, and stars. They used the heavens to navigate. So they're lost. They haven't seen the sun, moon, and stars for many days. They had despaired of life. They began to, the ship tossing to and fro and back and forth, and they began to throw the tackling of the ship overboard. Anything that just wasn't necessary for survival, they threw it overboard, just hoping to keep the thing intact. You get down to verse number 20. Their assessment, and I say their assessment, I believe it's not only Paul's assessment, I believe it's all those seasoned sailors on the boat. I believe all those men who were seaworthy men, their assessment was all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Now I want you to notice the word then.
at the moment, then, right then, at the moment, all hope was gone. Then the sun had not been seen for many days. Then the stars had not shone through the thick clouds for many days. Then preparations for calamity were being taken. Then fear engulfed their souls. Then they were tossed with the tempestuous wind. Then they had no light from God. Then they had no reason for encouragement. Then, at the moment, Paul begins to talk to them. And in verse number 21, he says, "Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, listened to me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss." You know what Paul told them? Boy, don't you hate to hear that? Paul said, "I told you so." Because before they started sailing, before they left the port, Paul came to the master of the ship, and he said, "Fellow, we better not leave." You see, some people, folks, are seers. Some folks, God gives the ability to look ahead and see down the road a little bit further than what you can see. Hey, teenager, hey, child, your mom and dad are seers. They see a lot further down the road than you can see. And God puts spiritual authorities in your life to help see. And Paul was a seer. And he said, folks, he said, "I see pending disaster. I see trouble. We better not loose this ship from the dock. We better wait." But they didn't listen to the prophet. They listened. They wanted to please the owner of the ship. And they set sail. And now they are experiencing exactly what Paul told them they would experience. He said, "If you had just listened to me, you would not be in this situation." Now, how many of us have been in these kinds of circumstances? How many of us have been in this kind of situation? We get ourselves in a mess. We could have avoided it. We heard how to avoid it. We were told the truth. It didn't sink in. And many of the messes we find ourselves in could have been avoided if we had just listened. I talked about that last Sunday. How important it is that we listen. How important it is that we hear. We listen. I reiterated that with the young people in staff devotions this week. It's so incredibly important that we hear, folks, the Savior's voice as He speaks to us. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And the voice of the stranger they will not follow because they don't recognize the stranger's voice." This is where we hear the voice of our Savior. And you listen to me, friend. Hearing is so incredibly important. You understand that Isaac, when Jacob came deceiving his father, bringing the meat, the blessing was about to be given to Esau and Isaac. His eyes were dim, so his eyes could not see that it was Jacob. He touched the hair that Rebekah had put on Jacob's hand, because Jacob was not hairy and Esau was. And he touched that hair and he thought it was Jacob. He smelled the outdoor smell from the skins of the goats that Rebekah had clothed Jacob with. He smelled like Esau. He tasted the savory meat that Rebekah had prepared. And it tasted like meat that Esau would prepare. Out of the five senses, four of them failed him. But he said, "Come near to me. Your voice sounds like Jacob's." His hearing didn't fail him. He said, "Come over here so I can feel you." And he felt the hair that Rebekah had placed there, and he made a decision based on feeling instead of fact. Are you listening this morning? This is how we get into a mess. This is how we get into situations that could have been avoided. That's what I preached last week. You've got to hear. You've got to listen. You've got to... How many times did you read in the New Testament, "He that hath eyes to see, let him see"? How many times do you read in the New Testament, "He that has hands to touch, let him touch"? "He that hath a mouth to taste, let him taste." "He that hath a nose to smell, let him smell." Can I answer that for you if you don't know? You know how many times you read that in the New Testament? Zero. But how many times do you read in the New Testament, "He that hath ears to hear, let him what? Hear"? a Savior. Flee from the stranger's voice. That's what Joseph did when Potiphar's wife voiced. He ran. That's a strange voice. Different than what I've been taught. We don't listen, Paul said. You've gotten yourselves in this mess because you didn't listen to me. It could have been avoided. I told you the truth, but it didn't sink in. And people of God, in this world that's on its way to hell in a handbag, I mean in a vortex, just digressing day after day after day after day, there is one place where you and I can get the truth and know the truth and be told the truth. It's in the blessed pages of this old book right here. Hear it. Hear it. Paul said, you should have listened, but you didn't. So after we get in these messes, are we done? Is it really over? Is there a way out? Or are we stuck in the mess? Well, in verse number 22, Paul keeps talking. He says, you should have listened to me. And then he says in verse 22, and now, at this moment, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Paul says, now, then, there was no hope, but now, there's hope. From fear to cheer, from despair to promise, from night to day, from then to now. Brother, this is our God. Our God specializes in turning the thens into the nows. Yes, He does. That's why He's God. No psychiatrist can do that. No psychiatrist can do that. All they're going to do is put you on medicine and pills and dope your mind up and get you more confused about reality. God can take the then and turn it into a now. He can. He did. Then the wolves were circling. And now the sheep are settled and safe. From then to now. From then to now. From no hope to hope. From fear to cheer. From despair to promise. From night to day. That's the God we serve. And by the way, friend, we need to see that the storm was not over. The storm was not over. Do you understand when Paul said this, the storm was still raging? Do you understand that? In fact, the worst was yet to come. The storm had not settled. People of God, hear me this morning. It's not the storm on the outside that presents the biggest danger to the child of God. It's the storm on the inside. The despair, the no hope, the fear, the muted ears. That's the biggest danger that we face. Yeah, not the storm on the outside. We know how the story ends. We're on the backside of it. We know that the storm would disappear. We know that that the confidence and the cheer and the hope would come. We know the story. We know the sun would shine again. But the now, Paul was talking while the storm was still raging. The storm was still raging, and he was saying, back then there was no hope. But now there's cheer. There's reason to be confident. There's reason to be energized and excited. And I love the fact that God can energize and make cheerful and bring confidence in the midst of the storm. And that's what you need to hear this morning. Our God specializes in going from then to now. Specializes it. That's what you need to get a hold of today. From then to now. From then to now. Let me give you the factors involved in this, what I believe made this difference in Paul's approach to this thing. From the then of hopelessness and despair to the now of cheer and confidence and energy. What made the difference in him? Well, first of all, I want you to see that there was a presence. There was a presence. Look at verse number 23. He's saying to the people on the ship here, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Boy, if there's anything you need when hope is gone, it is a heavenly presence. A heavenly presence. And folks, that heavenly presence that visited Paul is available to you and me today. In fact, that heavenly presence has been available to God's people down through the years. That heavenly presence came to Abraham on the plains of Mamre after he was left with nothing by Lot. That heavenly presence came to him. That heavenly presence came to Nehemiah when he was overwhelmed by the size of the rebuilding project, overwhelmed by it, rubbish everywhere, everything torn down, no gates, no walls. And he's on that donkey riding around the walls at night, and all the burden of the project, all that on him. But a heavenly presence came to him, and he had a vision because of that heavenly presence. That heavenly presence came to Isaiah when his heart was overwhelmed with grief after Uzziah died. So overwhelmed with grief. That heavenly presence came to Isaiah. The heavenly presence came to Elijah in the cave on Mount Horeb when he was a discouraged prophet. The heavenly presence came to Peter when he was backslidden on the Sea of Galilee. It came to Paul here in the middle of the sea on this journey. That heavenly presence, Paul said, there stood by me this night, the angel of God. That presence must have come to Lester Olof when he was in prison for not taking a state license for his homes. Because when Jack Patterson went to encourage Lester Olof with a bunch of boys from the lighthouse, they found Lester Olof standing on a chair with about 30 or 40 or 50 prisoners all around him singing, "Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord." He said, "How can he do that? It's called a heavenly presence." Heavenly presence. That heavenly presence must have come to John Bunyan there in the jail in England for not taking a license to preach the gospel. And his little blind daughter, they brought his little blind daughter to him, sat her on his lap, and she reached up and touched his cheeks and said, "Daddy, please take the license. Please come home. Please take the license to preach." And he put his little blind daughter down and refused that license and rotted in that prison. But you know what? There must have been a heavenly presence in that prison because he took bottle caps and he wrote the greatest novel that's ever been written, if you will, in Christendom, Pilgrim's Progress, in that prison. See, how does a man do that under such pressure? It's called a heavenly presence. That heavenly presence must have come to Horatio Spafford. Horatio Spafford wrote our hymn that we sing often out of our songbook, "It Is Well With My Soul." Spafford was a devout servant of God, a Christian lawyer who lived up here in the city of Chicago. I mean, buddy, he was devout in his service to the Lord, very interested and very supportive of D.L. Moody's revival campaigns and D.L. Moody's ministry in Chicago. And you know about the great Chicago fire of 1871 that destroyed a large portion of the city, destroyed Moody's Tabernacle. And two unbelievable things happened before that fire in 1871 to Horatio Spafford. First of all, he began to invest large sums of his money in portions of real estate along the north shores of Lake Michigan, Chicago up there. And in that fire, almost all of his holdings were destroyed. Almost all of them. But before that fire, something far more devastating took place. Horatio Spafford had four daughters and one son. And before that fire, his son passed away. His son died. They began to rebuild after that fire, and 2 years after the fire was over, Spafford planned a trip to Europe for him and his family, and he took his wife and his four daughters, and they were going to go over to Europe for rest and the boat ride, and he was going to help Moody and Sankey in an evangelistic crusade over in Europe, over that part of the world over there. And the day in November that they were due to depart, the day before they were due to depart, a big business transaction came up for Horatio Spafford at the last minute, and he decided to stay behind, and he sent his wife and his four daughters on that vessel on the way to Europe. He would catch up with them later. Before the vessel ever reached the shores of Europe, an English ship collided with the vessel that his wife and four daughters were on, and it sank in minutes, and there was chaos. When they finally got there to pull some of the survivors out of the water and get them to land, they realized Mrs. Spafford was the only surviving member of her family. She cabled Horatio Spafford, her husband, a two-word telegram from Europe: "Saved alone. Four daughters drowned." Horatio Spafford caught a ship headed to Europe, and he made sure that he caught one that was going the same route that his wife and four daughters had taken across those waters. And they got out in those waters over the place where the vessel had sunk, where his four daughters had died. They got out over that place right there, and he took out a pen and a piece of paper, and he began to write the words, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." How can a man do that? How? How can he go from then to now, from despair to hope, from no hope to hope, from hopelessness no comfort to being comfort? How can he do that? A heavenly presence came to Horatio's back. That same presence that came to Paul in that boat. That same presence that comes to you when you need it. That same presence that comes to me when I need it. That heavenly presence. I want you to notice, friend, that heavenly presence didn't come to Paul until after he had spent some time alone. He says in verse number 21, "But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them." You know what Paul was doing? He said, well, he was a prisoner in the hold of the ship. Yes, he was. But I'm going to tell you something. He didn't go down there and twiddle his thumb and play tiddlywinks and tic-tac-toe on the walls of the ship. He got down in the bowels of that ship and he met with God. I don't know if he had any scripture with him or not. He didn't have a whole Bible. But down in the belly of that ship, he began to walk with God and talk with God and pray. And he spent a long time with God. You say, "Brother Angel, how can I get myself out of this mess?" You've got to spend time with God. You've got to talk to the Lord. You've got to beg Him and plead with Him and say, "Lord, help me." And like a little child going to a daddy for help. That's how you get that heavenly presence. Yeah. That's how you get out of it. It's called a heavenly presence, folks. There was a presence that took Paul from then to now, that took him from hopelessness to hope, from fear to cheer. There was a heavenly presence that helped Paul. But not only was there a presence, I want you to see number two, there was a purpose. There was a purpose in verse number 24. Look what the heavenly presence, the messenger of God, said to Paul. "Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar." Do you see that? Thou must be brought before Caesar. You know what the truth was, folks? The truth was Paul was safe because God was not finished with him. God was not through with Paul yet. He said, "Paul, I want you to know, friend, God has something for you to do. God has something for you to accomplish. God has some more for you to preach. God has some more for you to do for His name." I want you to understand the very fact, Paul, that you are living and breathing. And by the way, friend, do you understand? The whole ship was spared so that God's purpose for Paul would be fulfilled. And I'm telling you this morning, God has a purpose for your life. And if you are still living and you're still breathing, that purpose is still important and that purpose is still on the horizon. And don't you let the devil talk you into despair that you don't need to go into. God has a purpose for your life. Sure He does. How many times did it look so bleak for Paul? And yet God kept him alive until in that prison, God's purposes were finally fulfilled and Paul went to heaven. And friend, I want you to understand the purposes that Paul was yet to experience weren't glamorous. They weren't glorious. He had to go defend himself before Caesar. He would spend more time imprisoned. He would spend more time in prison. But there was something encouraging about the fact, whether pleasant or unpleasant, there was something encouraging about the fact that there was a purpose of God for Paul's life. And you can encourage your heart this morning if you'll understand you're living, you're breathing, there is a purpose that God has for your life. I'm talking to every person listening to me this morning. I don't matter if you're right with God or if you are backslidden, if you're stuck in the then or if you are in the now, if you are in the moment of hopelessness or if you're filled with cheer, God has a purpose for everybody's life in this room. You're not just making money. You're not just going to work and taking care of children and taking care of a house and just existing from day to day. There is a purpose for your life and for mine. When that purpose is fulfilled, we go to heaven. Paul was encouraged. He could say, boy, Oh, you know, he said, then there was no hope, and then there was despair, and then there was fear. But now, I have encouragement, cheer, and energy because I've been visited by a heavenly presence, and I understand God has a purpose for my life. Sure He does. You understand, friend, that when the potter took that piece of clay and was shaping that vessel and then smashed it, do you understand that wasn't by accident? Do you understand that was on purpose? Do you understand it was the potter's love? It was the potter's care? It was the potter's compassion? It was the potter's interest in that vessel that caused him to smash it and start over again? And that's what I'm telling you this morning. If you're living and breathing, if you've been backslidden and away from God and cold in your heart, if you're still living and breathing, there's a purpose for you today. Yes, there is. Sure there is. That's how you can go from then to now. You get visited by a heavenly presence. You say, I prayed one time this week and nothing happened. Paul said he was long abstinence. You pray and keep praying. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. The Lord will answer. He'll answer on His time, not ours. You walk with God and you pray in the car and you pray at home and you pray throughout the day and you beg God, Lord, stir the fires of revival in my heart again. Lord, stir the fire in my soul again. God, help me. Bring me back to when I used to love to go to church and used to love to sing the songs. God, help me. I'm so hopeless. It seems like everything is just hope. God, you pray until you get visited by the heavenly presence. There'll be a purpose. That'll encourage your heart. There was a presence. There was a purpose. And I want you to see, last of all this morning, verse number 25, there was a promise. There was a promise. Paul said, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Paul said, the Word of God came to me, fellas, and I believe it. I know what it may look like right now. Are you listening this morning? This is where my mind has been all week. Paul said, I know what it may feel like. I know what it may smell like. I know what it may taste like. I know what it might feel like, look like, taste like, and smell like. But I heard. I heard. I heard God say, you're going to make it. And it may not taste, touch, smell, or see, look, like I'm getting out of this mess with you, but I believe what my God said. I'm going to tell you what. You'll never go wrong with that approach. You'll never go wrong with that approach. Grab a hold of this book right here. This is what God has said. Read it and find a verse that burns in your heart and hang on to it and hang on to it. And when you're slipping all over the place and trying to find footing, when you're trying to do that, stand on the solid rock of God's promise, friend. What God says, He means. He's truthful and honest and good and right. You stand on the promises of His book. What a blessing to have something on which to stand and rest your soul. I'm talking about from then to now. I'm talking about, Paul said, you know what? We're done. Everybody here is in agreement. This thing's going down. That was then. And a few days later, he stood up and he said, now, everybody's going to make it. That's quite a transformation, folks. From then to now. Some of you have made that transformation before. Some of us have made it. Yeah. There were times when you were over here in the then and all hope seemed gone. There are people sitting here this morning in church serving God with a smile on their face and their hearts full of joy. That some months ago, it was then. It was the then time. Do you understand that? We go on a trip to Iowa and we are accompanied by a wonderful lady who was in a then time of her life. But now, such a transformation, such a difference from the then to the now, the then to the now, the then to the, and that's our God. Then to now. You say, it never has happened to me? Sure it has. Are you saved? Sure it has. You just forgot. It's been so long since you rejoiced in your salvation, you forgot. Yeah, sure it's happened to you. Then we were lost on our way to hell. Then we were headed to burn forever and ever. Then we were steeped in trespasses and sin. Then we were away from God. Then we were aliens. Then we were shut out from heaven. Then we were dogs. Then. But we got saved, and now we're on our way to heaven. Now I have a home there. Now I walk streets of gold. Now God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Spirit is my Comforter. The Bible is my guide. I have joy in my heart now. That I didn't have then. Amen. Some of you need to loosen up. Good night. This is the tightest. You know, the problem with some of you is the reason you're so quiet in church. You don't think anything about God or church, nothing, until you get here. And it takes an hour and a half to get you in a shape where you can smile and be rejoicing. And some of you still ain't there. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't think church ought to be a quiet place. I'll tell you that right now. I don't think heaven's going to be a quiet place. Some of you are going to be mighty uncomfortable. You know, the best thing I could do right now is just take a lap around this building and shout a while. Yeah. So you forgot that you can go from then to now. You forgot it. It's been so long since you've been saved and rejoiced over it because you're so wrapped up in all this world that's going to hell in a handbag that we're living in. Get back, folks, to what you used to be. Understand, God saved you. He brought you a new life, and you went from then to now when you got saved. And if you're backslidden away, if you're in a mess, God can do it again. From then to now. Then you were lost. By the way, you might be lost here this morning. You say, Pastor Ainsley, I'm not lost. I know where I am. Armour Road in Bourbonnais. I'm not talking about lost. I'm talking about lost spiritually. I'm talking about unsaved, away from God. But a heavenly presence comes and knocks on your heart. Remember that heavenly presence that knocked on your heart that day? You know, we had a testimony time here one night where folks just said where they were when they got saved. It's amazing where that heavenly presence visits you. For many, it was in church. For some, it was home. For Dave Gardner, it was the steps of a high school or elementary school. I forget. High school. For others, you at other places, you got visited by a heavenly presence. And if you're unsaved this morning, the heavenly presence of God, Holy Spirit working on your heart saying, hey, listen. I sent my Son to die for you. I sent my Son to go to Calvary. I sent my Son to bleed. He shed His blood. He died so that you could be saved. He was buried and rose again 3 days and 3 nights later to prove He was the Son of God. I don't want you to go to hell. That's His purpose for your life. He wants you to come to heaven. He wants you to live with Him forever and ever and ever. And there's a promise, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you're over here lost and undone, you can leave here now saved, a child of God, on your way to heaven. From then to now. From then to now. Are you stuck in the then? Are you? The now could be just a few days away. From fear to cheer. From hopelessness to hope. From discouragement to encouragement. Then to now. What a God. What a God. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one's listening. No one's looking, please. I want to ask a few questions as we get ready to close the service and give the invitation. I don't like spiritual pep rallies. I've just gotten weary. Spiritual rah-rahs. This is the truth. It's a message from God's book. It'll stick with you for as long as you want it to stick with you. Pastor, pray for me. I'm in a then, and I'm going to start looking for a now. I'm going to start looking for a presence, a purpose, a promise. I need to go from then to now, stuck there. God being my help, I want to see that thing turn from a then to a now. Pray for me. The Spirit of God spoke to my heart this morning. Put your hand up all over the room as you do. God bless you, bless you, bless you. Amen. Thank you. Take your hands down. God bless you. From then to now. Now you're going to have to get back in your Bible and stay faithful at it. And get on your knees and start praying a simple prayer. Shut off the television and the radio and the music and just get along with God like Paul did. Like John Bunyan was. Like Lester Roloff was. Get that heavenly presence. Find that purpose. Find that promise. It'll be there. It will be there. If you raised your hand, it will be there. You stay with it until you see it. Until you hear it. Pastor, I should have raised my hand just then. I should have been in on that invitation. Pray for me. I'm stuck in a then. I need to go to a now. Pray for me. Somebody else? There's another one. There's two more. God bless you. Take your hands down. Anybody else? Then to now. Who's here this morning? Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. I remember when I got saved. I transformed from then to now. Lost to saved. Away from God to being a child of God. I know I'm saved. Would you raise your hand this morning as a testimony to that fact? If you're saved, lift your hand in the air. Put it back down. Thank you. God bless you. Somebody here this morning, Pastor, I could not raise my hand. I don't know if I'm saved or not. Pray for me. Anybody like that in the room this morning, front to back, side to side? Would you raise your hand? Let me pray for you. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. Not sure that I'm born again on my way to heaven. Anybody like that? Child, adult, teenager, member or visitor? I'm not sure that I'm saved. God bless you. If you're not sure that you're saved, the most important thing you can do is come, leave the seat where you're sitting, walk right down to the front here, tell Brother Caleb, I need to be saved, or at least I'm not sure that I am saved. And come, let him have somebody take a Bible and show you how to be saved. We're going to get ready for you to come. I want to ask the ladies and the men who help us at the altar to come and take their place, please, with their Bibles. We have ladies for the ladies. We have men for the males and the boys, the men and the boys, that will talk to you about the Lord. Pastor, pray for me. I've been saved, but I've never been baptized since I've been saved. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please? Let me pray for you this morning. Maybe you came to be baptized this morning. You came to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. If you came for that purpose, why don't you come now while we wait? Or if you need to be baptized, you come while we wait. Anybody like that this morning? Would you come? Anybody? Anybody? If you've been praying, asking the Lord's wisdom and direction on church membership, you've talked to myself or Brother Caleb about it. You've asked the questions about our church that you need to ask, then you come present yourself for membership if the Lord wills. And if you're not sure, if you haven't talked to us, come tell Brother Caleb, I'm interested in becoming a member, and we'll get your address, your name, phone number, and we'll figure out how to get a chance to see you. Would you come this morning? Anybody else? Anybody else? My dear Father, I love you. I thank you for your book. I thank you, oh God, for the testimony of its pages and the testimony of its words. Lord, I love the people sitting in front of me this morning. Oh, God, how many messes have I been in? How many messes have we found ourselves in? And, Lord, that time there was all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Then taken away. But now, Lord, I rejoice in that. Your goodness to us. Help us this morning to obey you. Bless the folks that lifted a hand. May they find that transformation. May they find that heavenly presence. May they find that purpose. May they find that promise that'll bridge them from then to now. I'll thank you for it. In just a moment, we're going to stand. Our heads will be bowed. Our eyes will be closed. The ladies will play Song of Invitation. Ladies, do you have the song "It Is Well With My Soul"? I figured you did. What a great song. That heavenly presence. If you need to use the altar, by all means use it, friend. Hey, that's part of what you used to do. You might find that presence at the altar this morning. Let's stand. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies and gentlemen, would you come? Now you raise your hand. You may have to step out over somebody. You may have to make your way out. But that's all right. Won't you come? Won't you come? Step out. You know what? A trip to the altar may be the beginning of that presence. You may find that purpose, that promise. Would you come this morning? I beg you to move. If the person next to you wasn't touched by the message, you can still step out and come. It doesn't matter. Would you come? Oh God, help me. Find the presence. Find the purpose. Find the promise that you need to go from then to now.